Alright, so JB, we continuing on part two. Again, I said we had a lot of games here to update, and left off on the Minnesota matchup there, Minnesota against Cleveland. Again, we have a very dominant pitcher there on the mound. We have Bauer on the mound, and there are a few lineups here. I'm going to do a quick update. Some of these things are relative, not much are relative. You want to pick and choose what is relative to you. Right now in the Cubs versus Cards, Al Mohr is leading off. Got Bryant in that second hole, Rizzo batting third, Contreras fourth, Schwarber fifth, Baez sixth, Russell seventh, and Happ eighth at the bottom of that lineup. And Lester, again, the pitcher on the mound. National League contest, so pitchers will be hitting. That's a little extra incentive for the pitchers on the mound. They do say that they are activating Joe Maurer of the disabled list. That's another lefty. And surprisingly, he's batting leadoff. You know, Dozier's been batting leadoff there while he's been out. And Maurer is a first baseman. He's been activated due to a neck injury. And he's batting leadoff today. So, very, very interesting. Going up against, I mean, that's a great way to come back, right? And you're going up against Bauer, right? Leading off, coming off an injury. And then the manager sticks you up there at the top of the lineup on who you got to face. You got to face Bauer. So, Joe Maurer is a veteran, been in the league for a while. 14 years to be exact. Yeah, he is from Minnesota. In his career against Kluber, he has 16 hits and 51 at bats and two home runs. So he's batting over 300, 314. He's had some success against him. So here's another guy. He's coming off an injury. Really don't know how he's feeling. I'm pretty sure he's been pretty active, and the trainer see him fit to play today. So that's a sneaky play. I'm pretty sure his salary is not going to be that much today. We got, looks like, Dozier's batting fifth, Kepler sixth, Garver seventh, Adrianza eighth, and Lamar nine. And got Gibson down there being pitching. So, I don't know if you know the news, they did send Sano down to A-ball. So, he just hasn't been hitting the ball that well, striking out pretty consistently. So, that's a big surprise. So, right now, man, I don't really see much for Kluber to fear in that lineup. They got Morrison DHing in the fourth spot there. I don't really see much right there, man. He looks like a great play today. The Orioles got a lineup here. It looks like they got Corbin Joseph. They got Adam Jones there in the second spot. Manny Machado batting third. Valencia fourth. And Mancini batting fifth. So Mancini's not leading off. Scope sixth. Trumbo seventh. Pedro Alvarez, another lefty in that lineup. He's DHing. So, very interesting lineup. There's some, you know, Valencia's a good contact hitter. He does hit for some power. Seen him take Toronto deep when he went back to play for his old team. When old Mancini can hit the ball to both sides of the field, he does tend to strike out sometimes when he chases that high fastball. And Manny's Manny. Got Adam Jones there. So, interesting lineup. Trumbo, Alvarez might get sneaky and do something there. So, very, very interesting. Very interesting lineup there. They're switching things up a little bit. Let's look at Alvarez real quick. And he hasn't really did much. Hasn't had a lot of opportunities. Kind of a platoon pitcher. So, he is one of those lefties in that lineup. Against Urena this year. He has one hit and three at-bats, one of them being RBI. So, he has brought in a run against him. Not much to look into except for that he is a lefty. And he is at a bomb that lineup, so he might get three at-bats. They can. I'm looking at a bomb that lineup. They could probably generate some runs there if with Mancini and Scope and Trumbo ahead of Alvarez. Only problem is, I mean, it is a National League. They're playing in Baltimore, so they do get that DH situation with Alvarez. So Very interesting lineup. I kind of like what I see there to bomb the order with Baltimore. All those guys got power. Alvarez, Trumbo, Scope, Mancini. It's not going to be anything easy for Urena to just kind of get through. He's going to have to work his way and pitch strategically, and he hasn't shown that consistently this year. So, again, we're just picking up from the earlier. I'm going to split my podcasts up into two parts today. Just went on the app here, and I saw that it was a few lineups posted. As for Marlins, as anticipated, Dietrich is at the top of the lineup. Lefty, Brian Anderson, second. Real Muto is batting third, and Bohr fourth. I like that top of that. Their top five is looking nice. Dietrich, Anderson, Real Muto, Bohr, and Castro. I like that. I really like that. So we do see Cron not in the lineup today against the Yankees. Again, he's been struggling. They're giving him a day off to kind of think about what's been going on with him. We pretty much leave it at that. Again, I talked about Sano. He was demoted to the minors as he's been struggling at the plate. That's pretty much about it. We'll wait on a few more updates to come in as I anticipate. And that's really about it. So we continue to go on with what's going on. Again, I'm not very confident in that Minnesota lineup against Kluber today. The problem for them is Kyle Gibson. He's at a 7,500 clip. He's a righty. I watched that Cleveland game briefly yesterday. Ramirez, he was banned from the right side, and he missed a home run, banned from his left power side on the right side. He still got under a little bit, went to the warning track. They switched pitchers in that game, and he was able to go to the left side, and he just took one out of the park on him. The guy's playing lights out, man. I mean, Lindor got on base. He went deep yesterday, got on base, stole a base. I mean, these guys are really all-stars. I mean, they play like all-stars. They don't take any at bat off. Cleveland is going to be, they're not like playing at a record-wise level like Boston right now, but you got to respect what these guys are doing. I mean, they're taking care of business, and then when you combine that with the pitching, they're doing a good job, man. So they're 6-4 in their last 10. They're trying to hump it. They're trying to get up there around that 600 winning percentage like Yankees in Boston. Atlanta is .588. Houston is .643. Cleveland, .537. Yankees, .688. Boston, .686. Milwaukee, .603. And bomb out there, Arizona at .559. But look out for the Dodgers, Arizona. They're right there playing good ball. So, right now, they're at home. They're at home against Minnesota again tonight. They're ace on the mound. This is another opportunity for them to pick up another win and start another streak here. I mean, they should definitely take care of Minnesota at home. They're losers of their last two. They dropped a game against Detroit. They were favored. Well, I tell you, but I think Detroit was favored in that game, but they had every opportunity to win that game. They only put up one run yesterday against Boyd. Boyd dominated him yesterday. He had a great game, and now they lose a game, and now they got to go play one of the top teams in their division, who they're six games behind. Don't have a lot of confidence in Minnesota. Again, they're just too streaky. Gibson, he had a no decision. He has played one game against them. I'm gonna tell you exactly the juice on him. He gave him five innings. He only gave up two hits. He had two earned runs in that game. One of them was a long ball that hurt him. Surprisingly for him, he commanded good stuff. He had seven strikeouts that day. And he had a whip at .71. The ERA at 3.18. So he gave you 20 fantasy points due to the innings pitched in that game and due to the strikeouts that he got. Does he completely like own them? I won't say no. I mean, they were able to get some runs on him, and he didn't pick up the win. So and he actually was at home that time. So now he's on the road in Cleveland, And so a little bit different dimension that he's going to be pitching here with. His last game, he went against Anaheim. He lost against them. He gave you 7 innings in that game also. Hits were under the amount of innings pitched, 5. He had 2 earned runs again. His ERA on the year is 3.45. His win-loss record is not indicative of how he's been pitching due to him not really getting a lot of run support. He had a 2-1 result against Anaheim, lost that game. He had another 2-1 no decision against Kansas City. He had a loss against Detroit, 4-1, not getting a lot of run support when he gets out there. I mean, he's been giving his team, he's been giving the management staff strong pitching counts of 100 or more. He had 118 pitches against Anaheim. So he's very devoted to his roles and responsibility. Fantasy world-wise, he's been doing very good. I mean, he had 17 fantasy points against Anaheim in that loss. In a no decision against Cleveland at home, he had 20. And that, again, due to his strikeouts, he has been showing that he can get, he has out pitches. He can get batters out. You know, he had 8 strikeouts against Kansas City on the road. So let's look at that metric. Away games, when he's on the road, that's his one lone win has been on the road. You know, he has about an identical amount of innings pitched versus home versus away. And he's given up considerably less earned runs on the road. So that park in Minnesota hasn't been too kind to him. His ERA in Minnesota is 4.78. On the road is 2.13 with a 23.4 FPPG on away games versus 10.9 at home. So, I mean, if you're a stat guy and I'm explaining this stuff to you, And you can look at the same things I'm looking at, but my whole consensus is for you to say, okay, where's the risk? If you're a numbers guy and you say, okay, numbers don't lie, and you want to take a flare and say, hey, okay, well, I'm listening to JB and he's good on the road, and he had a decent performance against them, I'm gonna take a chance on Gibson. Just based on what the numbers say, because sometimes certain pitchers have certain instincts against certain teams, even though no matter what their record shows, if you have a certain kind of ownership or you have some kind of inside information or through your tentative career, you know what a player likes and that. All these things normal fantasy players don't look at. But in a real life perspective, a pitcher has these things. He has the experience that can get him through certain things on the team. Well, I know not to go ahead and give Ramirez a fastball on a 2-0 count. I'm going to throw him something off the plate because he might be looking for the fastball or something. So all these little things like that counts. All right, so let's go to what the money guys are looking at, right? Cleveland, they got them heavy favorites. Is it because of Gibson? No, it's because of Kluber, okay? Minus 220 on the money line. They got an 8 over under. I mean, they didn't put a 7 spot up there. It was surprising. I've seen them put 7 or 7.5. They went to 8. So, that's kind of interesting. I'm put out there. That could be probably an under right there, man, because I just gave the juice right there about about how he did pretty good against them in his last start, and he's on the road. So, very interesting game. Very interesting game. That's one you want to kind of look at from a betting perspective and see how that turns out. And just to see how Gibson does today pitching on the road and what kind of offense is going to be generated. Are they going to go over the 8 or are they going to go under? Kluber on the mound, they're kind of, with him being on the mound and shutting people down, that's why that's probably a 8, man. They probably don't see Minnesota scoring too many runs. So honestly, I like both the pitchers. I like both the pitchers, what they could do. I think that's a good salary for Gibson. His FPPG, 16.7. Again, you can't get caught up in, this is fantasy. I mean, it's different from just a win and a loss. It's different from just betting on a straight bet. It's different from betting on the money line. You know what I'm saying? This is looking at a particular player and how many fantasy points he can give you. And can he give you more for his average for what you're paying for? That's the whole trick to this. All right, so there's some shakeup there with the lineup. We see Naquin coming back tonight for the Indians. You got Lindor at the top there, lefty. You got Brantley Ramirez, Encarnacion, all the usual suspects in the top four of the order right there. We know Gibson is a righty. Encarnacion has been swinging the bat pretty good. Hasn't really given you one of those big games yet. So let's look at him. Let's see exactly what he's got going on. And against Gibson, he has a .36 ADRA. He's on him, man. The guy got 4 home runs and 19 at-bats. He ain't fooling him. The guy from La Ramona, Dominican Republic. A lot of Dominican Republic players are in the National League. I mean, American League. In the Major League Baseball. I mean, they heavily recruit from Dominican Republic. Again, been in the league for a while. You never knew that, but Encarnacion's been in the league for 13 years, man. He's 35 years old. A lot of these guys start when they're very young. So I think he's still got a few years left to play. I mean, he's batting .236, a low average. He's never been a high average guy. He's been known just for more for his power and being able to generate runs when runners are on base. His OBP is .309 for the season. So I like him. I like them, man. I like Encarnacion right there, the 4. You want to go a little bit further. The thing about when I look at games, I look at the body language of a lot of players. And, I mean, Jose Ramirez has come a long, long way. I mean, this guy, I think he really takes the game to another level. I really think he takes it seriously. Sometimes when he strikes out or he takes a pitch as a strikeout, I mean, you can see him. He can't wait to get back up there to redeem himself. I mean, he really holds himself accountable to play at a high level. I mean, he's from Dominican Republic also, from Bonny. I've been to the Dominican Republic before, and they love their baseball down there. That's their life, you know. And when you find Dominican players that enjoy playing the game, most of those guys are playing at a high level. Against Gibson, another .300 average, .318. He got a homer against him, 22 at-bats, 7 hits in that, 2 doubles. He got some success there, right there in the middle of that lineup, right there. And he's turning around to the left-hand side. So let's look at one other thing I want to look at with Encarnacion. We know we have a righty on the mound. And let's see his splits. How has Edwin been doing against right-hand pitching? So versus righties, he's doing pretty good. He has 164 at-bats against righties versus 61 versus lefties. So definitely is going to have a lot more hits because of the opportunities. But he has 16 homers on the year. 13 of them has come against right-hand batters. All right. He has a slugging at .530. Very good metric. 32 of his RBIs has come against them. .847 OPS. A higher average. His average on the year is .236. He has a .250 average right now. So Edwin looking good. Encarnacion, I'm looking at that 3-4 right there. And we'll go at the all-star here, Mr. Lindor, man. He does Mr. Everything, man. Lindor, man, he's a terror, man. He's a nightmare for a lot of players. .435 ERA. This guy has 23 at-bats against Gibson, 10 hits. Before I even put Gibson out there as a decent player for his salary, I mean, he's going to have some work tonight, though. I mean, these guys have seen him, and they've done a pretty admirable job against Gibson. He has 10 hits again, one of them being a double, 3 walks, 2 RBIs. He went deep yesterday. He's seen the ball very good. He's from Puerto Rico, another West Indian player. At night, he's batting .259, his average .295. He loves playing during the daytime. He does. He has about equal amount of homers day versus night. 8 at day, 7 at night. More of his RBIs has come at night. He has 19 walks during the nighttime. 3 stolen bases at night, 6 during the day. He's definitely more of a day guy. I mean, his metrics are very good. He has a 1.06 OPS. .345 average during the day. He's doing pretty good against right-handed. Ironically, he does better against lefties. He's batting .369 against left-handers and versus right .263. Slugging about the same, .521 versus right .583. versus left. So strong numbers. 11 is home runs out of 15 has come against right-handers. He has 194 at-bats versus right versus 84 versus the left. So a lot more at-bats, more opportunities, and almost 110 more at-bats against right-hand pitching. He's doing due diligence. Guy's good. So I just pretty much broke down the top of that order for those guys. I mean, they're money, man. I mean, the numbers are showing a Cleveland stack here. You know what I'm saying? And again, I mean, you know, I mean, they're at home. They hit very good in that park. Definitely liking them. Definitely liking them, man. Can't say anything bad against them. The Cardinals lineup is out. They got Carpenter at the top, Bader second, Pham third, Ozuna fourth, Molina fifth, Yuriko sixth, Voit 7, Muno 7, and Michael Walker on the mound. We'll get to that there in a minute. We're going to go to San Diego and Atlanta. Again, just a recap before I move on. Kluber, definitely like him. You can take Gibson if you want a contrarian play at a salary. He probably won't be highly owned because of the highly consensus for Cleveland today. But I think he's a good risk. I mean, the numbers are showing that you could handle him. I mean, if he gets beat up on, don't get hard on yourself. Have a backup plan, maybe another lineup. I don't really see too much of offense out of Minnesota. That's the only problem. If you look at it and you say, Jewel, you know, is it okay to fade him? I mean, you can because, I mean, he might go out and do good. He might get you 5 strong innings, but then if you're really wanting a whole Monty, like, is he going to get any run support? That's the next thing. Can Minnesota muster any runs against Kluber? I don't really see that, you know. And what I just went over the offense, I think Kluber is looking a lot better right now for getting run support. So proceed with caution for Gibson. I mean, he's a good risk play. But again, don't expect him to probably pick up the win. And if those 4 points mean a lot to you, then definitely fade him. For sure. All right, got San Diego and Atlanta. I think they do have a showdown for this game today. I may try to put about a 30-minute podcast in for the showdown since I do follow Atlanta very closely. They have Brandon McCarthy up there, right-hander on the mound, high ERA. He's probably not one of the more brighter spots in the lineup. He's still a work in progress. He does give up earned runs. He had 4 against the Dodgers. 2 against Washington in 6 innings and 5 against the Mets in 5 innings. So he has some bright spots. He has some 20 fantasy points where he's double his average on the year. Is this a game where he can do that? We saw Anibal Sanchez do it yesterday before they took him out. He was running over 20 fantasy points. He got some good strikeouts there, good command, got good defense behind him. Braves are playing good defense, too. I mean, they're playing in a park like that, which is conducive for offense. You have to have good defense behind you. And when they play good defense and they give their pitchers run support and their pitchers are pitching with good command and not walking people, that's going to be a tough team to beat anywhere. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be favored. It's not by I mean, it's a minus 140. I mean, Baltimore got a minus 160. And reason why it's not like 180 or 170 or 160 or anything is because of McCarthy. McCarthy's been known to have some dull moments when he's on the mound. Because it's San Diego, they're in a work in progress. The consensus is 76% for Atlanta, 24% for San Diego. So, Atlanta, I mean, they were running some shutout there for a minute, and San Diego put some pressure on them. Could this be a game where they have, like, just one of those big breakout games? Because they haven't had one of those in a little bit. I say probably not. Clayton Richard has been pitching pretty good. Against Atlanta, he did give up 3 earned runs. He gave you 5 strikeouts to kind of negate the runs he gave up. He gave you 7 strong innings. The guy's been giving you about 100 pitches or more. It's a tricky game. I mean, don't rule out San Diego. For you guys who like to kind of pull the rug under Vegas, I could see some people actually trying to take San Diego today. Atlanta having a lot of lefties that are very prominent up and down that lineup. Inciarte going deep yesterday. Markakis, they walked him one time during the late inning. He didn't really get going in the first game yesterday. Freeman, he got going late. He hit a double in the gap to get on, to get an insurance run. They made some errors there to allow him to score. Albies at the top. So turning these guys around to bat from the left side with an experienced pitcher in Richard, he could probably command a little consistency during this matchup. So as for the another important stat, the over-under is 8. See, that's what I'm going with. So they're being very cautious with that over-under because of Clayton Richard and due to McCarthy's inconsistency. So because San Diego don't really take advantage of opportunities by bringing runners in and striking out and stuff like that, they only have maybe one or two good hitters in their lineup. That's why the over-under is a little bit less. And I think Richard may kind of hold his own a little bit. Very interesting game. Kind of hard to call because we know Richard has been pitching pretty good. And then with him being a lefty, going against so many lefties in that lineup, where would the opportunities go? You know, I mean, anybody in that Braves lineup could be a surprise. Carmago, Culberson, Suzuki, Dansby Swanson. I mean, you necessarily don't even have to pick Freddie Freeman or Markakis or Albies. I mean, the runs can come from anybody in this lineup, and that's what makes the team so unique and such a special surprise this year after having such of a bad season last year. Everybody contributes at any moment. So you can definitely roster some Braves bats today. I mean, you can go anywhere. I mean, I'll go ahead and kind of break down. Let's break down Markakis, okay? We'll break down Markakis and Inciarte. All right, let's look at Markakis. Let's look at how these guys do actually against left-hand pitching. That's gonna be very good. Against Richard Inciarte, he has 3 at bats. I mean, 3 hits and 7 at bats. He's batting .429, no long ball, no doubles, no triples, just making good contact when he goes up against him. He's batting .250 against San Diego right now. In that game he had yesterday, one of them being a long ball. They had a 14-1 win in San Diego. He scored 1 run, he had 2 walks. Back on June 4th when they lost 11-4. I remember that game. He had 1 hit. So he finds a way to contribute. Venezuelan, that's where Inciarte is from. And versus lefties, he's doing good. He has a OPS of .502. Average, his slugging actually goes down. So OPS is not bad, but his slugging goes down considerably. It's a .402 slugging against right and .230. against left. He's doing much better. He has no home runs against lefties. All right, so Inciarte definitely is probably a fade there. Albies is a switch hitter, and he has one double, 1 hit and 3 at bats. Not a lot to read into there with Ozzie. As a righty, he has 16 home runs. He's doing good. He's doing very good against right-hand pitching. When he has to go against righties, lefties, he has 5 home runs. So he does show some power there. 85 at bats. He has 208 at bats versus righties and 85 versus lefties. So almost double the amount of at bats righty versus the left side. But the good thing to note about this, he has an OPS at .944. versus lefties, and his slugging goes up. He enjoys batting from the right side. So Ozzie looks good. Ozzie looks very good. And then let's look up your boy Markakis and see what's going on there. And these are just some of the things as you go along with me. And I will say I like both of those guys. You know, versus Richards, Markakis, he has 2 doubles. He's not a big power guy. This is the most power he's showed in the last 3 years. So, but he hasn't went deep against Richard. He has a .455 average, 5 hits and 11 at bats. So, hey, He has 2 home runs at home. 9 doubles. He passed very good in this park. So one of the lone bright spots of a lefty in the lineup is Markakis. Freddie Freeman, he's just a very disciplined hitter. I've seen him do some damage from the left side going against the lefties. He has a .308 average, 4 RBIs, 4 hits and 13 at-bats. So he's batting over .300. So Freddie, not batting in. I mean, didn't do much yesterday. He had the one hit that was very important to give him some insurance. But just wanted to kind of break that down a little bit just for people who kind of uncertain, who just looks at lefties and they're like, oh, I'm going to fade him because he's lefties. But you want to dig a little deeper underneath the surface and see, you know, the averages and how these guys are doing. You know, San Diego, if they have to go to their bullpen, we know their bullpen is not the best. So there are some bright spots. There's some opportunities there for Atlanta. They are favored. we know Suzuki has been in the league for a long time. So it's most likely he has some metrics to be shown. Against Richard, he has 6 at-bats, hasn't done nothing. Nothing against Richards at all. He has 7 home runs on the year. He's a little bit better during the day versus night. He has 3 home runs versus left-handed pitching. Not a lot of at-bats. Only 38 at-bats versus the 119 at-bats versus righties. So he does have some home run there. Slugging is slightly better against lefty. His OPS is better. So one of the right-handed batters in there that you may want to take surprise on play. And Suzuki is in a great spot. I mean, he's batting in the 5th spot there behind Markakis, Freeman, Swanson, and Albies. Great opportunity for him to have some RBI opportunities, maybe even get a long ball there. So I'm liking Atlanta there. I don't want to rule out anybody. Going against McCarthy, I'm pretty sure Hosmer is going to be on everybody's radar. Margot has been pretty consistent. I think he had a hitting streak going on there for a minute. Let's look up. You know, we got to be consistent. We're Solution Sports. We just don't cover one side of the ball. We look at everything, you know. He didn't do anything yesterday. He had a great game in the last game against St. Louis. You know, he went 3-for-4. He had a triple RBI. so he might look for a bounce back game today. I think Jankowski took the day off the other day. He did. So I'm pretty sure he'd be back in the lineup today, being a lefty. He's one of the more decent leadoff hitters. I don't say he's the best, but he's pretty decent. He's batting .283, has 1 home run on the year. Been kind of quiet the last 3 games, haven't done anything. So, if you want to look at San Diego today and maybe take some contrarian plays, definitely can look at the top of the order. Hosmer, Jankowski. That might be where you want to go at, and maybe some consistency with Margot there. let's look up one player here on San Diego that I'm pretty sure you guys know who I'm going to go to. And, that's going to be Mr. Villanueva. He is a difference maker, one swing of the bat. Haven't seen too much on him lately. In June, he hasn't been doing good. 25 at-bats, 4 hits, no home runs in June. It's kind of chilled out a little bit, man. He is a little bit better hitter at nighttime. He bats righty, so he's much better against left-handed pitching. Not very good against righties at all. He's struck out 40 times against right-handed pitching. 1.182 average. His slugging goes down considerably. 0.326 slugging against righties, and then lefties is 0.915. So, he's from Guadalajara, Mexico. 1 year in the league, still kind of young. He's 26, so he's still kind of learning. He has power. I mean, it's a risk if you play him against Atlanta. I mean, if any pitcher would give up a home run against him, it would be McCarthy. But proceed with caution with him. As a matter of fact, what I will do Let's look. He's at 3,900. So you want, if you take a risk, you want to look at what you're buying. So he's under the 4G mark, which he hasn't been in his last 10 game log. Could be a steal right there. The numbers don't really show anything promising with him, but if you want to take a risk, if San Diego has a, you know, a little glimpse of glory there and they get some people on base and he's able to come up to bat, he may definitely bring some runs in. All right, so that's really about it. Could you foster Atlanta stack? I don't think a stack for Atlanta warrants today, but you can definitely take some usual suspects out of the top of the lineup, like Albies. Looking for Markakis, I mean, Freeman. You could probably take about four of those batters out of that lineup. And Ciarte didn't have good metrics. You can do Suzuki, Markakis, Freeman, and Albies, you know. I like those four guys in that lineup. As for Villanueva, he's averaging 7.1 fantasy points. He has 36 RBIs. He hasn't had a multi-RBI game in a while. You know, his last RBI is one, and that was against St. Louis. Hasn't driven a lot of runs in lately. So the law of averages would say if San Diego is able to compete today, he will have to have something to do with it. I definitely like Atlanta in that game. More offense. Can even take Atlanta on that money line also. Got Colorado and Texas. Chad Bettis on the mound. I always got to give a chuckle with him. You know, he's very lucky. He has a 4-1. He has a lot of no decisions, man. He has a 4-1 record, but again, a lot of no decisions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no decisions in his last 5 starts. Wow. So 3 home runs against Arizona. He got off the hook on that one, getting the loss, so he didn't go 5 innings. And then Dodgers, 5.2 innings against them, gave up 2 home runs. Been giving up the long ball a lot. Hasn't went over 100 pitches. Got close against Arizona, 96, but hasn't went over 100 in a while. I was giving you about average mid-80s pitch count. Not much really to look forward to here. He's a $5,500 salary. You know, Texas had a little rough out there. They had to go against the Dodgers. They're losers of their last 6, man. One of the teams in the bottom of the American League West at 18 games behind Houston. Is this a game that's winnable? Yeah, I mean, it's winnable for Texas. But again, their pitching is just not there. They got Yohandel Mendez on the mound. He's recalled from AAA. Again, another building in progress with their pitching staff, trying to see who the next up-and-coming prospect is that is ready to pitch on this level. So if we go to that game, and I already can call it, I knew it was going to be all, I mean, lights out. 10.5 is the over-under in that game. Wow. Colorado is still favored because of the young guy on the mound. This definitely warrants some stacks. He's a lefty. Oh, my God. They, like, send this guy out for failure today. This might be a game where even though Blackman is a lefty, let's look at him. I've been on him a lot lately. Somebody I keep on my radar. He's still batting over 300, even though he hasn't shown the power. But against lefties, he's not bad. His OPS is still 0.812. Slugging just slightly decreased from 0.531 to 0.446. Average 0.304. I mean, got a young guy on the mound. He has some power. Blackman is looking good. LeMahieu is looking good. I'm not going to go into it too much game. It's a test for the young guy going against a team that can slug and make contact. It's going to be kind of tough. Very, very tough. So, Bettis has had a start against them. His ERA is 4.40. He's righty. Is there any left-hand hitters to even talk about? Sin Chu, definitely one. They got the young guy there. Profar, he's been swinging the bat pretty good lately. You know, he's been giving you some decent fantasy point performances. I like him there. You got Mazzara there, lefty. I mean, Texas can definitely make some noise today. I do like the over under at 10.5. I see a lot of runs being scored in this game. Texas is not a household name team, but don't be surprised if you have a few players that pop out today out of their lineup and actually get you some good production. So Colorado, again, I told you that they're favored. Actually, I'm so sorry. Texas is actually favored in this game. They're -105. What in the world is Vegas thinking about? I've seen Vegas do this with Colorado, even though they have household names with Arenado and LeMahieu and Blackman and Trevor Story. And they got this young guy coming up for Texas. Don't know what he's going to bring. The money line is favored for Texas, -105. So what these guys see, it remains to be seen. I think a lot of it has to do with the over-under being so high at 10.5. I think they think Texas is, you know, this guy Bettis is not too much of a risk. He's not much less of a risk than the other guys. So, interesting game. Keep tuned to that game. That's definitely a game if you want to take Colorado on the money line and test them. I don't know how much money that's going to bring back, but you can definitely test Vegas on that favorite for Texas right there. Very interesting. I think a lot of that, too, is that they see an opportunity for Texas to come out and get a win because they haven't won in their last six games. And they have somebody that they can probably hit. You know, they were doing pretty decent against the Dodgers, but their pitching just folded on them up there. So not a good thing for them. We move on from that game. Again, Colorado stack. You can do a Texas stack if you want to. Don't like any of the pitchers in that game. You got Detroit Tigers against Washington. And we saw Detroit pull out a win yesterday. Their wins are their last two. Thankfully to Boyd. And right now they're on the road against the White Sox. They're 10-20 on the road. Not a good road team. They're a lot better at home than on the road. They're only 4.5 games back of Cleveland. And we know Cleveland got the ace on the mound. So if Detroit is scoreboard watching, we know that they're going to try to come out and try to do something decent. They got Fires on the mound, an experienced pitcher. He does give up runs from time to time. He has a 4.0 ERA. He hasn't had any games where he has zero runs given up in his last like six starts. Giving up a home run his last two games. Decent game against Cleveland. He had a good game against them. He was at home. Again, he's on the road today. And his away games, his ERA is a lot higher on the road than at home. He's giving up one more home run on the road than at home. So he is giving up the long ball at home. He's 2-2. I mean, on the road. He's 2-2. Away as versus 3-1 at home. So if that's indicative of anything, if he's going to be more on the metric side of what he does, as for what his number shows, it's going to be when he's on the road. So White Sox, is there anybody in the lineup that could take advantage of him? I mean, Jose Abreu has been hitting a little bit better. Moncada's definitely there. They got Daniel Palka there. Honestly, just looking at this, not even crunching any numbers, I really do like the top five people in the White Sox lineup against Fires. I think this is a game where White Sox can kind of just wake up a little bit. They lost the last game again against Cleveland. I think this is a game where they have an opportunity against Fires to kind of flex a little bit offensively. I got Tim Anderson and the Speedster down at the bottom of the lineup. It's a little special entity everywhere in their lineup. They got Speed down there at the bottom, some good contact hitters. Outside of Adam Engel, he's still trying to find himself. But this is going to be a good game. I mean, if I was in Vegas and I had to say I won the world for this one, they got it right. I would definitely put the White Sox as a favorite in this game. -129. We saw that Fires doesn't do that well on the road, and he does give up the long ball. And the consensus is for Detroit, 55%. Not much big separation there. 45% for Chicago. But I like White Sox in that game. I can definitely take some roster some bats out of there. You know, if you want to take a break, you Palka, you can go with Moncada. Yeah, matter of fact, you know, I always kind of break down Moncada when I can. He's an up-and-coming talent. He's from Cuba, 2 years in the league. Against Fires, he has a walk. That's one double. Only six at-bats. Not a lot to look into there. We'll look at his metrics as for a righty. Right on, he's doing his justice. Slugging is .471 against right-hand batters. 2.53 average. So his average is better against right-handed pitching versus his overall average on the season, which is .227. So White Sox. I definitely like that. Renato Lopez, he's shown some brilliance at times, and then some other times he gets kind of flustered. Cassiano kind of let me down yesterday. I thought he was going to come out and have a decent game. He didn't do anything. You know, he's going through one of those little routes where you got to kind of let the hitter go through. He had a game against Minnesota, had two strikeouts, very disappointing at the plate. He had four at-bats, no hits in the game before that, and five at-bats, struggling mightily. We'll go ahead and look up Castellano. I mean, if he cares anything about his success that he's been on, he's going to have to do something by tonight. He's batting .333 against Lopez, three hits and nine at-bats, having a double. What I will want to look at here, I want to look at one other thing with Castellano. I want to look at how he plays away. He has 120 at-bats away versus 155 at home. And his slugging is slightly better. His average is much better. He has a stolen base away. So traveling away from Detroit might be something good for him tonight. I want to look at Leonis Martin. He also let me down the other day. Didn't give me anything. 0 points. away games, his slugging is a little bit better, 4.495, OPS at .823, five of his nine home runs have been on the way. So both these guys, they probably need to get out of Detroit and try to get back on the more positive side of things. again, the over-under in that game is 8.5. Lopez, we know he can get some strikeouts. That's one thing part of his pedigree that he does very well. He is a righty. He has one game against them. He had 8 strikeouts against them. He didn't factor in for a win. He lost the game. He gave you 7 innings in that game. So, had 96 pitches, 13 fantasy points, and that was on the road. So, at home, he does much better at home. I mean, he's 1-1 at home. He has a 2-4 record. His ERA is under 4 at 3.26. I've seen him pitch in that stadium. He looks a lot more comfortable when he's at home. I like that whip, .94 in the 5 games at home. Definitely somebody you can roster today. I mean, he will make up for his runs with some strikeouts. He has some good movement on his pitches. Another interesting matchup, you know, they have a .5 on top of that 8 for the over-under. That's probably due to Fires. I do see probably some runs, but nothing excited to get over in this game. I can kind of see it probably falling right under that 8.5. But if you do want to roster some bats, you can maybe, I hate to say, be a cheerleader for Nicholas, but definitely could roster Castellano. You know what I'm saying? They got him down in the third spot today. Again, like I said in the last podcast, the lineup looks a lot different without Miggy. They're going to have to find some people who really wants to step up, and that's going to have to do with Hicks and Goodrum and Victor Martinez. He's going to have to start swinging the bat with more authority. Detroit is kind of an identity crisis. They're trying to get over that right now. I do see White Sox having a little bit of an advantage with Lopez being on the mound at home. And I do like the top of their order, okay? So we're going to move on. Saw Philly had a very good game yesterday. They a much-needed win. Rhys Hoskins went deep. Odubel Herrera got a couple hits there. He kind of got back in the swing of things there. 8 fantasy points for him. Cesar Hernandez had some opportunities, but he left a lot of people on base. I think the bases was loaded one time, and he flied out. He should have had a much better game yesterday, and he didn't. Very important matchup here. Milwaukee handled their own against Chicago in that series. They didn't get obliterated. They got some much important wins there. So not a lot of offense by Chicago. I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened to the bats in Milwaukee. They just didn't like playing up there. So they're losers of their last two. The Cubs are, and Milwaukee benefited from that. They were able to stay at the top of the National League Central. They're a game and a half up on Chicago. So these guys got Philly coming in. Very interesting matchup, man. I mean, Philly, they won 93 convincingly against Colorado yesterday. We're going to go and look at who's on the mound. They got Arrieta. We know Arrieta's been up and down all year. Hasn't been the Arrieta that we normally know. When he looks good, it looks good. And when he's bad, it's really bad. He's giving up earned runs, walking people. I mean, putting people on base, giving up home runs in the wrong spots. I mean, he hasn't went consistently 7-7-7 or more innings in back-to-back like pitching. He's very shaky, man. 7,400 is his salary. Even DK, his salary fluctuated. You know, 7,800 against Milwaukee. And he lost that game. It was 9,100 against San Francisco on the road. Like, what the hell did they see in that? He lost that game, too. Gave up 5 earned runs. So you can't really trust anything about him right now. Except for that, we know that the organization needs him to come out and give him a great, great performance. Against a Milwaukee team here. They want to continue to keep pace with the Nationals and the Braves. They brought this guy in here for a reason. And they're winners of their last game, and they need to keep the momentum going. Their L10 is 4-6 in their last 10. They need to get that back over 500. If they start fluttering here and playing, winning 1 out of 3 and getting swept and stuff like that, they're going to fall behind real quick in this National League. East, just like Colorado is doing at the moment. So kind of two teams with the same kind of identity. You know, the hitting can kind of bail them out at times, but their pitching is just very suspect. And then him pitching away is bad. When he goes on the road, I mean, Arrieta's 4.45 ERA on the road. He has a 2-3 win record at the way. He doesn't pitch good on the road at all. 16 earned runs in 6 games started. 2 home runs in those 16 games. I mean, it's nothing to say, hey, that I'm going to tell you to put your money on this guy. I can't do that. And Milwaukee has been, they've been finding a way to win games against tough teams. Based on just that analysis, Milwaukee is favored. I mean, they know Philly needs to win. They know Milwaukee needs to win. The consensus is right there, dead even, 50%, 50%. No one, dead even, no one really knows who wants this one more. Milwaukee is at home. They're minus 134. Not a very high convincing money line, but they are favored, and that's probably due to Arrieta's struggles. They do have Suter on the mound. He's 4.61 ERA. He does have a winning record at 6-4, and that's probably due to him just getting a lot of run support, which he does. It was a 9-2 win for him against Arizona, 8-3 win against St. Louis, 12-3 on the road against Philly. So they like this guy. They like him when he goes on the mound. They give him run support. He's one of those Lucky Charm pitchers that gives up earned runs, but the batters and offense gives him more runs than what he's giving up. 3 earned runs against Philly on the road, 2 against White Sox and 5 innings on the road, 3 at home against St. Louis, 2 against Arizona. So, I mean, he's been consistent in giving you double-digit fantasy points, 16.3, 16.3, 18.3, 21.2. He's been finding ways to stay above the Mendoza line. That's due to his strikeout ability and keeping the whip down. He doesn't walk too much. He had 1 walk against Philly, 2 against the White Sox in the game before that, and none against St. Louis, 2 against Arizona. But here's the kicker. 5 strikeouts against Philly, 6 against White Sox, 6 against St. Louis, 6 against Arizona. So if his ERA is almost under 5 at 4.61, is he giving you 6 or more strikeouts, that's helping him in his purchase. He's 6,500. He is a lefty. There's a lineup posted for him. He's going to turn Cesar Hernandez over to the right. Hoskins, he's batting very good. Odubel Herrera is not that good from the right side. Santana is not that good from the right side. So this is somebody that you could definitely roster. Just like I said, Gibson, if you want kind of a mediocre, intermediate play, and it being a National League matchup, him going against a pitching at least two or three times, he can roster a strikeout to help him out. So Milwaukee is the favorite. Arrieta, you know, not doing too well right now. Don't know what you're going to get out of him. That whole order for them looks good. I mean, Kane at the top of the lineup, Yelich being a lefty, Travis Shaw being a lefty, Aguilar, he's, you know, we'll look up Shaw real quick. Let's look at the cleanup hitter, and then we'll just take it from there. And this is Milwaukee, and right now, I guess Arrieta hasn't done much. You know, it's one hit and 10 at-bats. That's Travis Shaw, not much to really get. Not much to get excited there in his metrics against him. Same thing with Yelich being a lefty, 2 at-bats, 10 at-bats, 2 hits. He has 2 walks. So he's not pressed. Those walks do count for something. Shows that he keeps a good eye up there. Lorenzo Cain, being a righty, has done pretty good. 3 at bats and 3 hits and 6 at bats. He's been 500. And let's look at I want to look at their lineup one more time. And you got Aguilar batting third. That's interesting. Braun is also in the lineup, batting a little bit down there. Braun against Arrieta, batting 250, 7 hits and 28 at bats. He has 3 home runs. So the mechanics of him on the mound doesn't really throw Braun off that bad. So just looking at this lineup, Kane and Braun, you can probably mix in a Yelich there. And as for, to just give you the last secret sauce, over under is 8.5. So, not too great pitching in that one. They're kind of keeping it a little bit close. They don't want to give a hint out about putting it at 9. So, definitely you can roster some bats in this. Suda, he will give up some runs. If you're not careful, Hoskins, and even Nick Williams has been doing very good down there in that lineup. You know, Caesar might surprise you too. So, I'm not really convinced about too many of the bats in here. Just based on looking at some of the metrics, I do like Braun. I like that number, what I see about Braun. In June, he has 3 home runs. He's batting pretty good in June right now. Just like McCutchen. McCutchen has been batting very good in June. You know, you do want to kind of look at that. Cesar Hernandez, we'll take one long look at him. Not much to get excited about against Suter. 1 hit and 6 at bat. He didn't look very good and confident yesterday. I'm not certain what's going on with him. I don't know if he has a mental or physical issue right now, but I'll probably stick with like Hoskins all the way down to Williams in that lineup. Don't really see too much down there at the bottom with Alfaro and J.P. Crawford. So, Hoskins looks good. Herrera, Santana, even if he gets some RBI opportunities, and the same thing there for the middle of Milwaukee. Again, a lot of other offensive abilities there. You know, a lot of other options you can go out of. Even though again, Arrieta hasn't been doing that well, there's opportunities again there with Kane and Braun. Can roster them, and a lot of people are not going to really look at Milwaukee like that with so many games. They're not a big marketed team, so they are, if you want to be contrarian, that's a contrarian game. You can get some batters out of there that, you know, like Reese Hoskins, they might get you 20, you know. We saw that yesterday. You know, they had like 28 fantasy points. You know, who's looking at that? You know, so I mean, we know Philly needed a win in that game. He had 28 fantasy points, right? Nick Williams, if you want to look at that, Nick Williams had 23. You know, they both had home runs in that game. And again, you know, with Suter being a lefty, those guys being righty, they can make some damage again. All right. I can't really call it. I mean, that game could go anyway. Philly could win, Milwaukee could win. That's a game, you know, if you want to go against the spread and you want to take Philly, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You know what I'm saying? Philly, they got a little momentum yesterday. That's why the consensus is 50-50. No one really knows who wants it more. That's a great game to bet on the money line for the underdog, for sure. All right? we're going to probably have to do a third installment, so we're going to stop here, and then we're going to finish up the late games, all right?
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.